want to look now at the second reading, which is 2 Thessalonians 2:16 to 3:5. It's more of the same theme, more this time our Lord's fidelity through death or through life. And the other one was through death right into life again. Brothers and sisters, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting encouragement and good hope through his grace, encourage your hearts and strengthen them in every good deed and word. Can you see how what he's praying for is that we be optimistic and courageous and not abandon and not give up and trust God, even if things become difficult. We are not concerned only with this life. We're concerned to live in this life in a way that will join us in an unbreakable embrace of God himself forever. Then it moves on. Finally, brothers and sisters, pray for us so that the word of the Lord may spread forward and be glorified as it did among you. Do you see him again? Remember, we were doing the other reading. He said, I'm not afraid. If you're going to kill me, go right ahead. I just want the word to be proclaimed. And so when I spoke, he tells the Thessalonians, it was well received. That's all he cares about, that Jesus be understood, because he loves Jesus, but also because he loves these people enough to bring them to Jesus at the risk of his life. And that's what he's doing, you see. Pray for us so that the word of the Lord may speed forward and be glorified as it did among you, and that we may be delivered from perverse and wicked people. Of course, that's wicked men, but it's all right. The generic man, you know, men, it's okay. But we are confident of you in the Lord that what we instruct you, you are doing and will continue to do. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the endurance of Christ. So the love of God, is that a possessive genitive? The love that we have for God? Or is it an objective genitive, that is, God's love for us? Or is it both? There's a genitive this way and a genitive that way. And because the grammarians have to have everything organized, there's also what's called a generally determining genitive. It goes both ways. And the love of God often is one of those generally, God's love for us and our love for God. Just say the love of God and it covers it all. And that's, you see, may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the endurance of Christ, so that you will endure with the endurance of Christ, but you'll do the enduring. Christ will endure in you. You know, I've said this many times before, but, Felicity and Perpetua were in jail. The pressure was from the Roman nobility, and Felicity was her maid. Felicity was pregnant, and she gave birth in jail. And the jailer, as he's healing her moan and groan and the pain of her childbirth, says, if you're moaning and groaning now, giving birth to a child, what are you going to do when you get out there in the amphitheater? And she said, here I'm suffering. There another suffers in me. I'm not worried about that. That's faith. That's martyrdom. That's showing forth the beauty, the courage, and the love of Christ through this frail human young woman who's giving birth to a child. And so that's what this is all about. That's what he's saying now, you see. So let's look back a bit and start again. Huh? May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting encouragement and good hope through his grace, encourage your hearts and strengthen them in every good deed and word. Isn't that beautiful? You see? In panti ergo, qui logo agator, ο πάντι εργο κι λόγω αγατό. I don't know why they did that. All work and good word is, but they put them under one, that's all right. So every good deed and word, and every good word. And then, pray for us, why? You know, I could be put in jail? No. That the word of the Lord may speed forward and be glorified as it did among you. And that we may be delivered from perverse and wicked people, for not all have faith. But you see, how do you think we could get that way? That Jesus would be such a first priority that we don't care whether we're in jail or out of it, whether we're in pain or out of it, so long as whatever we're doing is making Jesus better known and better loved. That's the apostolic life. The apostolic life is not running around doing things, and they're all involved, but the apostolic life is making Jesus known and loved by everybody. For their sake, but also for His. He loves them. He wants to save them and bring them with Him to eternal life, but they have to know about Him and be baptized. Now, does other people go? Yeah, that's the big question about, you know. But the idea that anybody who means well is on their way to heaven, that's not right. And that's not what that Lumen Gentium number 16 says. It's much more difficult to achieve eternal life if you don't hear the gospel and believe it. It's right there in the text. That part is skipped over. And what has happened because of it is that the missionary life of the church for a while was totally crippled. Oh, we don't have to go out and, you know, risk my life over in Africa, eat food that's going to make me sick or I can't eat. And, you know, I don't have to do that. They just putz along with what they got and they'll be all right. That's wrong. That's wrong. And that's not what number 16 says. Now, you may know this. But Ralph Martin did his doctorate on that, Lumen Gentium 16, over at the Angelicum a couple of years ago. I don't know if the whole thing is published. It might be. Anyway, it's very important. Look how much trouble we have obeying God. And we receive the Eucharist. We hear the Word of God. We have Christian friends. What about somebody who doesn't even know if it makes any difference if he believes in God or not? I try to be a nice person. When I can't, well, I can't. That's that. Isn't that dangerous? Yes. But you know, as somebody once said, you know, I'm not so much worried about whether those who don't hear the gospel will be taken into heaven. I'm much more worried it's going to happen to me if I don't preach it to them. And that's what Paul is saying here, you see. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and guard you from the evil one, who is a reality. I don't think, with everything that's going on right now in the world, the torturing, the poison gas, that anybody can doubt that there are, you know, free, intelligent beings who are intent upon evil and dragging people away from God and insulting God as far as they can. You see? And Paul calls him the evil one. You see? We are confident of you in the Lord that what we instruct you, you are doing and continue to do. I wonder where my Greek Bible is. And so, pray for us that the word may speed forward and be glorified as it did among you, and that we may be delivered from perverse and wicked people, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. We are confident of you in the Lord that what we instruct you, that's better, isn't it, than translation over here. No, it's the same. What we instruct you, you are doing and will continue to do. Anyway, the point is, we told you the truth. and we're confident that you're going to be faithful to the truth, even though it's creating difficulty. Your neighbors think you're nuts. The government's starting to get worried about you and nervous about who you are and whether you're preaching some sort of sedition, which means automatically jail and maybe death. But we have confidence in you that you will be faithful to the Lord, because I'm confident in the Lord and his love for you. Amen.